You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
What you need when what you really want inside can only You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well with you today. But I hope you're going to have a good day today and help you get a chance to do all the things that you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping to, the weather is accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it is not, and it has to get done, it must get done, then you'll get it done. Because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening, once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and all times are going to give our Eastern times. Monday and Wednesday, our story. Monday and Wednesday, our story, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. with Baba Wes Johnson out of New Orleans. Friday at 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. That's not Saturday. Sunday from 5 to 6 p.m., from 5 to 6, activist Reverend Edward Pinckney out of Benton Harbor, Michigan. Pinckney to Pinckney, Sunday from 5 to 6. And, of course, that is with our good brother, activist Reverend Edward Pinckney, Benton Harbor, Michigan. And then Sunday night at 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. I'm going directly to the Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Then I'll be bringing on my guest, Brother Ayo Kamathi, the Irritated Genie. December 10th. The birth of wisdom begins in the ear. Ibele Oshe. Ignorant individuals make up all kinds of truths because they have few to no answers but must pretend to know everything about everything. Equally important, with regularity, they do not know what they do not know to solve serious social problems and have no means of finding out how to do so because they cannot listen to those whose experience and study have taught them what needs to be done. Ignorant minds are not conducive to listening. Their ears are closed to instructions relative to African progress. The ignorant are a severe detriment and should be kept at almost as great a distance as the blatantly treacherous. And while deception sits at the heart and soul of ignorance, our story teaches us that no matter how well disguised ignorance and the arrogant it conceals will reveal themselves. Warriors are not arrogant. They exude humility in their self-confidence, not erroneous self-importance. Grass-rooted assuredness and empty egotism are not compatible. The former knows that they are one with the people. The latter foolishly believes themselves to be above them. Humility is redefined intelligence.
It quietly discerns truth. It abhors the dysfunctional noise and confusion arrogance brings. For those reasons, warriors distance themselves from the carriers of ignorance, from loud noises, from mouths extending from minds which know no peace. Affirm, I listen to the wise. Affirm, I listen to the wise. December 11th. Self-hate is at work. At its best, when a culture of people are afraid to deal with the roots of their stress. Haiti Blue. What would our warrior ancestors say if they noticed an increasing number of would-be warriors walking around afraid of how Urugu would respond if they fulfill the responsibilities to Ma'at? What would they think if all they saw was noise in an age of awakening and growing awareness of the magnitude of the destruction and the ongoing genocidal activities within the Ma'afa? There is no excuse for inaction. And this fact especially applies to the grandstanding inaction that appears as action but is totally oblivious to the complete failure of protests intended to reform Urugu's ways, institutions, and advantages over us. When historically the response to an undismissible rebellion by those who openly and privately mistreat and perceive as something to defend themselves from have been to either co-opt its leading voices, many of whom sought their validation from the beginning anyway, until they are assimilated into neutered positions within its power structure or violently subdued outside of it, there should be no exceptions, no expectation of change. The proliferation of would-be warriors is evident. That these individuals are acting within a more sophisticated, menticidally ingrained, fear-ridden, self-hating ignorance that can only come to the rule they're thinking because they are operating within the limitations given Africans within Urugu's Asili. Their decisions and actions are not similar to those of our warrior ancestors. Ashe. Affirm, I stand my African ground. Affirm, I stand my African ground. I'm going to tell you right now, brothers and sisters, I know a brother who stands his African ground. I have witnessed it. Brother Ayo Kamathi, how you doing, dear brother?
Doing fantastic. And yourself, my brother?
I'm doing well, man. This brother stands his African ground on 24/7, 365. I say. Yes, sir. How you been, man?
I'm doing fantastic. I love that opening. I'm thinking that was Baba Baruti. It sounded like some Baba Baruti.
Yes, it is some Baba Baruti for the Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Yes, it is.
Yes, sir.
Yes, it is. I want to, before we get started, talking about the proceedings this weekend at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar on African Survival. I'm going to read a tribute to that my lady gave me on Nikki Giovanni from the poet Leslie Henri. Okay? All right, here we go.
Sure.
Leslie Henri, poetry in moratorium for Nikki Giovanni. Who taught us to ride the night winds? Who taught us to love? Who taught us to fly? How are those words left to write on paper, to type into souls, to speak into existence? Now you are gone. How are those words left for anyone to redefine themselves after the world brushes us with hate-filled ink? How do we whisper cotton candy love? Bellow revolutionary calls to actions. Wrap our arms around our blackness with tenderness, with pride, with the challenge to love ourselves and each other in defiance deliberately and find deliverance without illuminating the darkness with blinding truth. With ease, I say, with the foundation immovable, with the poet who was the mortar to the bricks in the movement, she taught us how to lay those bricks and sometimes how to throw them. with precision, with disruption, with hope, if we have nothing left. But she has already given. Then we have everything. Then we are everything. Because her pen has tattooed her love into our cells, where it will divide and multiply infinitely, forever, forever, into forever's forever. With our gratitude dancing our every horizon, her kiss of the sun, every cool breeze, every burst of red and green leaves, every snowflake falling like diamonds, melting on tongues, which is to say eternally. I'm so perfect, so divine, so eternal, so surreal, I cannot be comprehended except by my permission. I mean, I can fly like a bird in the sky. Ashe. Thank you, dear. Ashe. Ah, my brother, Brother Kamathi, the irritated genie.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let's get into this. We're going to do all we can. And, of course, you brothers and sisters can join this conversation by dialing 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832, if you have questions, comments, or concerns. This Saturday at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, we're going to have African Survival in the 21st Century. And that'll be from 3 to 7. So come within that time and you're going to be all good. Of course, Black Dot is 6984 Main Street in Lithonia. In Lithonia. All right. Let's talk about African Survival in the 21st century, because it looks very tenuous, but there's a lot of things on the horizon. I mean, I know there's always war on the horizon, but there's some good positive things coming out of West Africa, you know, particularly with Burkina Faso, Mali, and
Niger.
Yeah, Niger, yes, you know. And so this is encouraging, very encouraging, but I wish that more of the countries would begin to follow suit. I wish more of the countries would, you know, utilize the resources that they have, eliminating or kicking out those colonizers, those people who have been there. And I know some of the Caucasians and some of the Arabs and some of the Indians and whoever else have been there for quite a long time. But it's time to go. It's time to go back to where you came from. We have to get our house in order. That is our land. That is the richest continent on the planet Earth. It is the center of the land masses. When you look at a map of Pangaea, that they say when all the continents were together, and you see how the tectonic plates began to shift, and you see how they began to break off, you can see how all these other continents can just start to fit right in to Africa. Africa is the center, and that's why it has been and continues to be and will be the richest continent on the planet. And, of course, the people who inhabit the planet could be the richest people on the planet, if they control that resources, if they control what's happening. Would you agree?
I do. I think it takes us back to what Dr. Amos Wilson told us about. When we talk about and think about economics, Dr. Amos Wilson, the way he could only do it, you know, he said it with a laugh, but he said, what we really learn, and peace be upon him, he said, what we learn is how to count and help white folks count the wealth that they stolen from us. Mm. We're not actually learning economics.
Okay.
He said economics for black people would be very much what you were just alluding to. It would be the discussion of how we take our wealth back and control our destiny with the wealth that we have in our hands and maybe other people's wealth. But that would be true economics. And that's to a large degree, when Baba Rudy talks about sovereignty, that's what I take from it, is that, like Dr. Wilson and Baba Rudy and others have been pointing out, we have been in a world conceived by Europeans.
Yes.
We say that we have the wealthiest continent on the planet, but the reality of it is, whose perspective is that? Because the people who are benefiting from the wealth of the African continent are European, Asian, and Jewish. When, and I think the question we have to ask is not if, because you made the point perfectly clear, we have to benefit. The question is, when are we going to turn the corner and become the primary beneficiary of the wealth that's under the ground on the African continent and in the minds of our people on the African continent? And what we're beginning to see now, I think it's honestly, I think we're living, if we tuned in the most promising time since I'm 51 years old. I don't think there's been a more promising time in the history of this world since I've been alive than right at this very moment. Because what's happening in Western Africa, particularly with the three nations, and now they're getting some other nations to join in, but particularly with those three nations, we call them One Africa, they call it the AES, the Sahel Alliance, the Alliance of the Sahel, Niger, Mali, and Burkina Faso. They're literally the first part of economics for black people, quite frankly, particularly when we talk about Africa, the first part of economics is military. We can try to, you know, learn a formula to count something. What formula do I need to count the money that's in a Jewish central bank? I don't need to know that. I need to know how I'm going to defend myself when I decide that the wealth in the ground underneath my feet belongs to me. And if you try to come take it, I'm going to take something from you.
Right on.
That's the beginning of economics. And what they're doing in West Africa right now, they partnered with the second most powerful military on the planet. I'm talking about military decisions now that relate to economic development. Whether we like it or not, we don't have a military powerful enough to defend our own resource base. I'm just being honest, in Africa. However, these brothers not only have put the French out and the U.S. in some cases, but in addition, they've partnered with people who are having conflicts with these same people, the French, the U.S., the NATO. And so what they're doing is they're positioning themselves on a long-term basis to be able to become self-sufficient in self-defense and military capacity to defend what they're now taking back, which is the access to the uranium and other resources. That's economics. That's African survival. That's really the 21st century.
Yes.
And it's exciting, my brother.
Yes, sir. I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. And the fact that I'm over 70, so I have more years behind me than I have ahead of me. And so me seeing what's happening, this is the kind of foundation being laid that I want to see before I expire. Knowing that Africans finally realize that we can no longer rely on Europeans and all the lies that they have told and all the things they say they were going to do. No. It's just like to me, they should have in Angola, when the United States came down into Angola, they talked about the railroad. They didn't talk about being able for Africans to travel. They talked about the railroad to get the mineral wealth out of the central portion of the country and move it to the move it to the shores, so and to the ports, so they can export it, you know. And I'm saying what we need is the ability for us to control that, you know. I remember when the French started to get kicked out back in the 60s when many countries were gaining their independence. And one of the things, I hate the French, man. I really do. And it's a mixed bag. Not for me. It's not a mixed
bag.
It's not a mixed bag for me, but it's a mixed bag for some of our people, because the French allow a lot of our people to come to France, you know, jazz artists, other people, you know, Josephine Baker, da 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 da. You know, and so there was some perception of the French being, you know, more humane than England, more humane than United States, more humane than the European Jews. Not so. It was a facade. It was bullshit. You know, they were just as dogmatic. I mean, what the French is doing.
I would say if we look at the French, there's a few things about the French that just makes them a hellish group. Short of probably second to the Jews, the ones I despise the most, maybe, are the French. And I'm going to say a few reasons why.
Okay.
One, their homophilia. This is the gayest, most rapinous, homosexual, disgusting group, probably. They're right next to the Jews. They're right next to the Jews. As a matter of fact, in Baba Maruti's book, I think he quoted Dr. Africa and saying the French are known in warfare. Their reputation is that they rape the men first. Mm. Not that they rape the men, but that they rape the men first.
Before they rape the women, huh?
Which means, before they rape the women and children, they're going to rape the men first to try to break men. I've talked to so many brothers, and I can say this now because I've talked to any number of them from Cameroon. Cameroon was the French-speaking part that was controlled by the French. There's such a high percentage of homosexuality in Cameroon. It's gotten so bad with the French occupation and molestation of youth that now, in order to get a job in the government in the French-speaking part of Cameroon, you literally have to go through a homosexual ritual. And I'm not talking urban legends. I'm talking to people who live in the country. So I despise them on that level. And then when you talk about the criminal theft, I don't think there's any group that's more violent and criminal in its treatment of Africa and its resources than the French. I could be wrong, but I don't think there is. I agree with you.
And then
if I say one more thing, I think it's critical. Even if we look at the Western Hemisphere and slavery, one of the reasons that the Haitians were so visceral in their fight against the French was the wicked, evil treatment that the French gave of black people during slavery. And they lost, but it was a heck of a fight. And so the French have just been notoriously anti-black, and I'm with you. I'm anti-French.
I say. Yeah. Yeah. It really bothered me. I think, what was it, about 8 years ago when the French were attacked by some, quote, so-called terrorists at a concert at their auditorium. And, you know, shots were fired, some people died. And then the big pouring of sympathy for the French happened. Even amongst us here in this country, people were putting the French colors up on their Facebook page and so forth and all kind of. And I'm like, no, you know, I'm not applauding or condoning that violence, but I probably understand it because of how the French are and what they have done, what they continue to do, you know? And so I was very upset seeing that, you know, that these people would, and of course, many of our people have historically been bamboozled into believing a number of things that aren't true, and we fall for the damn okie doke because of it, you know. So,
that's
yeah.
Right.
So I have such a deep disdain for the French, but I have a deep disdain for Urugu, for Europeans, period, and how they have the arrogance to believe, and of course, all those who have been affected by the Urugu virus, which is everybody, because the Arabs feel they're superior because they're closer to Caucasians, you know. So I have issues with all the folks in North Africa, you know. I have issues with the Arabs in Kemet, you know. And one thing we need to understand is something very clear. And I've tried my best, and I'll continue to do so on this program, to make the distinction between Kemet and Egypt. Kemet is Africa. Egypt is Arab. So when you hear someone say Egypt, that's not African. That's Arab. And believe me, so many of these Arabs believe they are They are the original. They are the pyramid builders. They are the temple and tomb builders. They are the leadership. They are that. They believe that. You know?
Well, for our intents and purposes, it's pretty clear. If they were the builders of pyramids, then where are the pyramids in Arabia? Right.
Yeah.
There are none. So, we know who built the pyramids.
Exactly.
One thing I would say, I can't say but, I'll say and, in relation to what you're saying, and Dr. Chancellor Williams said it, I think, best. He said, really, when we're talking about white Asians and Middle Easterners, he said, pretty much we just say the word white because they all are of
identify.
A similar ilk and vein.
Right, they identify.
He said, because, and the reason I say that is because when you talk about Arabs, we have to remember the Arab slave trade started long before the transatlantic slave trade. And one of the things that they were notorious for doing, they still have it today, is that they would castrate black men and make us watch over the black women that they had as concubines. So they would call eunuchs.
Yep.
This is part of Arab culture. Mm-hmm. So this can't be a friend. If you're a black man out there, any black man out there right now, you got to hear this one. You got to eat this, you got to eat this one and carry it with a grain of salt. The Arab is known for castrating black men. We know that the Ku Klux Klan and other white groups would do that as a torture and a punishment during slavery and transatlantic slave trade. But this is different. This was a standardized process. We want to kidnap them and get them to watch the women cut their testicles off. So, and then also, something that we don't talk about, I'm talking about the French being notoriously homosexual. But nobody really talks about the Arab homosexuality, which is really comes out of Greece. These Arabs in the relationship from Oman that would go down into Zanzibar and Tanzania and routinely take little boys back and molest the little boys there, it's still a problem. These are things nobody talks about. The Muslims in northern Nigeria who are taking the culture from the Arabs through Islam and our imams that are molesting the boys in northern Nigeria, it's a problem. And I've talked to people, Muslims in North Nigeria, to make sure that it's accurate, and I haven't had one of them denied. Every single one of them puts their head down and say, it's true, brother. So, to your point, we don't have no friends. I mean, we got black folks now that are we have people now, I'm going to be 100% honest, because we need to know, and then I'm going to talk about what we're going to be talking about this weekend, because it goes right into it, but when we talk about Pan-Africanism, what we're talking about is the unification of African people. But right now, as you and I are speaking, I'm telling you, and it's getting worse, large numbers of people classifying themselves as Pan-Africans are being funded from the West to go into Africa under the guise of Pan-Africanism, and they're spreading homosexuality under the guise of Pan-Africanism, which is why I no longer use the term.
I have
not been able to get anybody who's Pan-African take a strong, definitive stance against homosexuality.
Wow, I have not heard enough this. It's crazy. Yeah. Damn.
Yeah, and see, the reason that it's a problem is because they're giving them money. They're not just going there. They're not just going there being gay. Mm-hmm. They would face a lot of resistance. They're going there with money. And then they're talking, Pan-Africanism, which Africa is now trying to unify. So under the guise of what the blood, sweat, and tears of Africans in the West did to truly try to bring our people into unification, we had to fight Pan-Africanism. You had to fight racism. These were not weak people. These were not nonviolent activists. Like, you don't come from a non-violent activist spirit. You're a man. But these homosexuals are being funded to strip the masculine construct, or formerly masculine construct, of Pan-Africanism and take it over there to corrupt Africa while Africa is trying to adopt these concepts of African unification and apply them. So we get, you know, it's all part of our job. That's one of the things I do. When I go over there, I let people know this is dangerous and that you cannot trust a lot of the people who come over calling themselves Pan-Africans from the United States of America. And I have to do that. I have to do it because what good are we as Africans if we go and become the poison to pollute the will of Africans who are trying to improve their position?
Yeah. Man. Yeah, it is so pervasive, man. It's very pervasive, and it's sad. But, you know, but the thing is we have to come together to check all of this. If you're coming in into African countries under the disguise of being a revolutionary or being a Pan-Africanist or wanting to unify Africa and so forth, because that's what Pan-Africanism is supposed to be. That's what Kwame Nkrumah, I'm talking about the Kwame Nkrumah, Patrice Lumumba, I'm talking about real staunch Pan-Africanists, you know. But yet you coming in to spread homosexuality, you know. Homosexuality amongst a people neuters them, weakens them, you know, unless you're trying to take their sexual orientations away from them and they'll fight like bitches. I'm sorry, man. This shit is crazy.
No, yeah, I mean, yeah, they and it's so problematic because for years, I consider myself a Pan-African. Mm-hmm. And in and around 2015, I said, and I've been holding strong for 10 years, I can't do it any longer. Because, like, brothers like yourself will stand and take a position. But what I noticed is the few people who were Pan-African who agreed with me and began to say something, they got overwhelmed by being challenged by people who were so-called Pan-African saying that this is not our issue. We got bigger issues. I've heard so many times we got bigger fish to fry. And not a Friday has come where I found this fish. I'm still waiting for this big fish that's going to get fried that we're going to all split and eat and have a nice fish fry. I haven't seen it yet. Have you seen it, my brother?
No, sir. No, sir, my brother. No, sir. No. And I live in Atlanta, which is the American homosexual capital for African Americans. San Francisco or some other place might be the gay, but Atlanta is the capital of American African homosexuality, partner.
That's right.
It. You know, so right. No, I haven't seen it. I haven't heard about it. You know,
and that's part of the problem. We keep saying, people say, why are you focusing on this? People don't realize this, and this is one of the reasons that we're having such a problem right now. We don't realize that if we don't successfully defeat this issue, we don't have any other issues to fight. And we don't have the intellectual space right now where we understand how relevant this particular fight is. If a black man doesn't want a black woman, doesn't even want a woman, period, particularly a black woman in particular, and if the black woman doesn't know she's supposed to be the black man, if we can't fix this problem, there are no problems that we have that we can repair. There's no basis or foundation for even there to be Africanness because what is an African other than a black man and a black woman that produce a black child?
Exactly. That's black. That's family. That's fundamental. That is the root. That's fundamental.
It's the very definition of who we are. Mm-hmm. We think that we got it wrong. When the person, I think we probably stated it the way we did at the time, but there's probably a better way to state it. We used to say, listen to Dr. Wells and others who would say, if a black man has a baby with a white woman, then the child is black. That's not true. But I understand the point. We were saying that the child has some color, but I think we got to be more.
Well, because she looked at the DNA and our genes are dominant, where European Caucasian genes are recessive.
A dominant gene still doesn't define someone as black once you mix it with a less dominant gene. So in other words, if you look at just on a practical basis, if you look at O.J. Simpson, he's clearly an African. Anywhere in the world, he's black. But if you look at O.J. Simpson's children. Mm-hmm. Child, she's not black. You can't tell that she's black. You can't tell that she even has a black parent, but maybe you can tell that she's not the same as O.J. Simpson. Now, yes, his gene is dominant, but in that particular mix, she comes out looking more white than black. Mm-hmm. And then if you look at Muhammad Ali, his grandson, you can't even tell there's any black in him. He looks like a white man. So this idea that when you mix this gene that it still is black, that is not true. It is a dominant gene, that is true. But for our survival, we have to shift and adjust on the battlefield. Mm-hmm. If you want to be black, it requires a black man and a black woman to produce a black child. Because that becomes fundamental in our survival at a time when we don't know that. Because mm-hmm. if we knew that, we wouldn't be out here doing all this interracial miscegenation.
And it's proliferating. It's so sickening. It is, man. Every person in the society, I'm not saying every, but you know what I'm saying, have, particularly men, have Caucasian mates. Even now the women. Every woman, you know, Kamala Harris and Ketanji Brown Jackson and a few others, they have Caucasian mates, you know.
Right, it's genocide.
Yeah.
We're erasing our, see, and that's why I'm saying this idea that our, that if you cross-mix the gene pool with others than black, that it still remains black. I understand what it's saying is a dominant, but I think we got to start changing the language just for our survival purposes and make it clear. If you're black and you mate with anybody other than a black person, you're not producing a black child. And that's dangerous because it's genocidal. If everybody did what you did, we would cease to exist as a race. Well, and I think that's the healthiest way for us to look at it because it's actually happening.
I say,
we're
I agree.
Actually seeing it.
Yeah. Because look, that's what happened in Argentina. Once our captivity
right.
was over, once our captivity was over, the edict or the dictation of the Argentinian government was Africans mate with Caucasian. After that child is
that's
born,
right.
that child only mates with Caucasian. And then that offspring only mates with Caucasian. We're going to breed you out of this situation. As aside from killing your ass and extradition your ass, we're going to get you out of Argentina. And that's what you see in Argentina today. In fact,
that's
you,
right.
You know, yeah. So, you know.
No, that's right. What you're saying is real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what happened. So, you know. We have a lot of issues to deal with, but I'm looking at the issue of our survival as well. That's why this presentation this Saturday is vitally important for us as a people. And I'm asking the community here in Atlanta, or even if you're in the sound of my voice, wherever you are, and you can get to Atlanta this Saturday, to the Black Dot Cultural Center and bookstore and coffee bar, please be there, you know, from 3 to 7. Of course, the address is 6984 Main Street in Lithonia. That's east of Atlanta off of I-20. Take I-20 going east, exit 74. Okay, that's Main Street. Exit 74, make a left. Now you're headed north for about a mile. On the left will be the Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore and Coffee Bar to check out my good brother, my dear brother, Brother Ayo Kamathi, the Irritated Genie. And giving you a wealth of knowledge and information about African survival in the 21st century. Believe me, like I said, I'm encouraged, but there's still a lot of work, especially when you talked about how deep the homosexuality piece is, you know, how deep the European Jew is, how deep all the other countries. I mean, you know, in Ghana, Chinese are all throughout Africa, you know, in other places where we are. And China says to those places, oh, I will build that for you. You want this road, you want bridge, you want a resort and so forth. Like when I was in in the Bahamas, in Nassau, they were building a huge on the par to Paradise Island that they already have their resort, but they only use Chinese labor. They use no indigenous labor. And the labor is prisoners. Chinese, they take their prisoners out of prison and have them go do the labor. And when I was there at the time, we had a Black Firefighters Convention in the Bahamas. And when I was there, there was no work going on because there was a strike. No, the prisoners didn't strike. They can't. The strike was of management.
you know, about how things are going to be done and how they're going to be paid and so forth and so on, I guess, you know. But I was like, wow, this place is huge. And all these Chinese that are there. And, of course, I've witnessed in Africa. I was last in Africa 2019. And they got the China Mall right there in Accra, huge, big mall. They built a road from, if you go to the northern region, to Tamale. They built a road from Tamale to Moli Park. But this is interesting too, brother. What they also built was another road on a higher hill and a resort on that higher hill for them, for the Chinese, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And then at the same time, I saw some incidents in various parts of Africa with Chinese just disrespecting African women, disrespecting African children. Now, I remember Chinese people disrespecting Africans who were going to China for education, you know.
Mm.
You know.
You know, when you talk about that, I recall a situation. I was in Uganda, and this, you know, this is going right into some of the things I'll be talking about coming up in terms of us needing to understand. And it goes back to what we started talking about money before. Mm-hmm. So there are incredible economic opportunities that are arising in Africa right now, particularly in West Africa. And they're very open to conscious-minded, African sovereignty-minded African people who have business savvy to come over and invest. And they're using the word profit. We want you to come over and make profit. We will help you make profit. We just want you to come, you know, with that in mind and come ready to invest and build this region and country, and you can make money doing it. They want that. They're looking for us. I remember I was in Uganda, and I was in the airport, and he was clearly a businessman. And he's a Chinese guy. Well, there was an elder. He's probably about 80 years old. He was standing in line. And so the elder in line, the Chinese guy comes up, and as if that elder's not in line, acts like he's going to walk in front of him and me and get and walk through the terminal. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to be perfectly honest. You know, I'll say this. I effectively physically prevented him from getting in front of the elder. And held him off to the elder walk through.
Mm-hmm.
But what I noticed was the security was kind of uncomfortable with me. They were more uncomfortable with me than they were him.
Right.
And it took me years to realize. And what I realized was a few things. One, sometime in Africa, we look at these people as gods, and they treat them in a certain way. But then there's two, something else I had to, on a practical level, I had to realize, you know what? That guy's bringing some money in it. And so their superiors, and the government would look at it like, don't do anything that hurts or angers any of our investors.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, money talks. I'm going to just be real. Money talks.
Right.
And so we need black people with the right mentality to realize that what's happening in West Africa right now. Now, I'm not talking about these homosexuals with a bunch of money. I'm talking about real Africans who know that we're Africans, but also are not just coming with cultural investment, but who knows money? Who knows how to create a factory? Who knows how to do mining? Mm-hmm. Who knows how to do development?
Yes.
Like, they need these things, and they want these things, and they want us to do it if we come with the right mentality.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a problem with us making money as long as they get a fair part of the money. Like, they want to develop. And they really want us there.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to make a difference, because when we go there and we are investors and we're helping develop the nation, not only do the ones of us with our fighting mentality, been here fighting 400 years, not only do we have the right cultural mentality, but also, you know, we go there and we're bringing money. It will help each of us when we travel, because just like they looked at that Asian dude and thought, he's a business guy, he's bringing money, we will be looked at, oh, these are these black Africans from the West who bring investment. Mm-hmm. So don't mess with them because they help us, you know, develop our nation. So, you know, we'll get treated much better internationally. And that comes with a reputation. And honestly, money talks.
Yeah. Yeah. I know there's certain.
Like I have connections, for instance. I have connections. Our people love nice leather products. Mm-hmm. I have a connection in Zimbabwe with the nicest. This brother's work is nicer than anything I've seen. It's as good as any standard of leather product I've ever seen in my life. I was shocked when I saw that he was actually doing it. We have people here who have shops and who like leather. There's no reason we shouldn't be connecting to expand his business to an international business, but we know we have people in this country that love leather products. Mm-hmm. This is what Africa's waiting for. They're waiting for us.
They are.
They're not waiting for us to be homosexuals coming with degeneracy and a trade-off for money, and that's what's happening.
No, they're waiting for us because the American Africans are some of the most technologically advanced Africans on the planet.
That's right.
And if they had their right minds, you know, if they connect themselves to the continent and connect themselves to the future for African people, because, I mean, I don't understand why they don't see what, you know, let me read this. I mean, yeah, let me get this quote here from Marimba Ani. To be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of European thought and behavior in order to understand the effect that the European has on our ability to think victoriously. We must be able to separate our thoughts from Europeans' thoughts so as to visualize a future that is not determined by Europeans. This is demanded by an African-centered view, because why? We are Africans. And because the future to which European leads us is genocide. Marimba Ani, my dear friend.
That's right.
Mama Marimba. That statement is dynamic because that's the fact. But yet, because we, you know, the fear that Europeans have put into us, so many of us, you know, we still whisper real low when we're talking about them and there's some of them around. I don't give a rat's ass about them. You know? Or the fear of, you know, when the Caucasian comes around and or the jobs that they have to offer and so I don't give a damn. We must close ranks, pull the resources and buy resources, not just I'm talking about our mental and physical resources as a people to bring our continent into the forefront, into the 21st century. Here we have all this.
You know.
Go ahead.
You know, I was going to say, one of the things that I think we're going to have to do, and it's one of the things I'll talk about on Saturday. The world is shifting, and it's an adjustment that we're going to have to make, in my estimation, in order for us as African people in America to maintain our relevance. And what I mean by that is we are used to, over the last 100 years, over 125 years almost, since pretty much 1900, of being the leaders in black unification efforts internationally. Hmm. We being the brain interest. I mean, we can go back a little further now. We can go back to 1800, even the Haitian Revolution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
African sovereignty, in a weird kind of way, we're still Africans, but in terms of the spearhead leading dynamic of it, in many ways, has come from Haiti into America, into Jamaica, into, you know, America. And so we have been, for the last 200 years, quite frankly, the spearheads in the lead of African sovereignty and African unification. Mm-hmm. It, from Dessalines to Garvey to Elijah Muhammad to Malcolm X to Dr. Khaled to Kwame Ture to the Panthers. When we were hearing these people talking about African-centered thinking, thought, and action, we were in the lead. I think now, based on what we see militarily and the ideology and the economics that are being woven interchangeably into a oneness in the Sahel, I think that we have to look at our condition, the fact we're in the stomach of a pig, and there's only so much sovereignty you can get. You can be as sovereign as you think you want to be, but when that pig walks across the street, you're going with him. There's actual sovereignty in free space that they're making free space, not intellectually, but militarily in the Sahel right now. And the same ideology that the edicts that we've been talking about, of all the greats that we've been mentioning since we've been on the plane, you talk about Dr. Marimba Ani, Baba Baruti, we're talking to Dr. Amos Wilson, you know, we're talking Baba Garvey, we're talking these greats. The ideology in place is now being executed. So it's implementation and execution that is occurring now, which means, I know this is hard for people to hear, but I think we have to start viewing it. We're no longer in the lead. That doesn't mean we're not relevant. Because you said we're the most technologically savvy people on the planet. But just as the African in Africa during the time of Garvey, someone would have said, well, there's a Jamaican man that's talking this talk, and a person in Nigeria would have said, what does that mean to me? And once they heard the word of Garvey, they said, yes, this speaks to me. Mm-hmm. And so now, even though he's in America, but he's from Jamaica, he's speaking a word that affects the entire planet. But we're in the lead in America through a Jamaican who has come and is taking the lead. Now we have to be real and reduce our egos and change the paradigm. Our brothers in the Sahel are in the lead.
I agree.
It hasn't been 100 years, but in three years, what they have done is unprecedented.
Mm-hmm. Courage.
It's unprecedented. It's
tremendous courage of those brothers.
Yes, and they've combined to come into a oneness. So now we talk about African unity, but we're seeing not theory, but practical application of African-centered unity in the interest of serving the interests of African people. Now that we see that occurring, the trick is, and this is the hard part, we have to reduce the ego, recognize the success that we see in what they're doing, and transition, make the transition to no longer being in the lead, to seeing, hey, these are the brothers that are in the lead. But what they are building, like Baba Garvey was building, was that he was building an ideology that would become the premier ideology that we're talking about now that's being lived out. Now we're seeing implementation of what he was talking about. Now these guys are in the lead. Now what do we do with our skills and our experience to help make them successful and have longevity and be successful, because they represent us as African people? And that's a shift of mind.
Yeah. No, what we do is we go
in the front.
Right. What we do is we go over there and assist them in every way possible, educationally, monetarily, physically, mentally. We assist them to further grow that Western region of Africa to be ultimately the model for the rest of Africa, Central Africa, right. Southern Africa, the model for it. You know, that's what we do. You know, because it's not, you know. The fact that we're American Africans and we're the most intelligent Africans on it. Now, hell no. Just as I said, you know, we want you to come back to Africa, but a lot of y'all wouldn't be no good in Africa because you ain't no damn good here. We don't want your
That's
ass.
Right.
Stay your ass here. If you love America so much, but we want Africans to repatriate. We want Africans to come there and assist in building up these countries. And not just in West Africa, but other parts of Africa as well, you know?
Well, and I'm saying something. I agree with that, but I'm taking a more pointed approach. I'm saying a different type of paradigm.
Okay.
So, yeah, we can help, but I'm also saying if they're in the lead, of course, I agree with you. We have to help. But assistance doesn't necessarily just mean going there. Sure, we want to go there because you got to have the relationships. But the question is, don't they have to be concerned about this governmental infrastructure being called upon by France to help go do the dirty work of trying to re-enslave that region?
Right.
Don't we have political interests? Can't we develop socio-political interests such that we are tied to those regions in a way that says, no, 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 no. This country, because we are American citizens, we cannot allow our citizenship to be used to sit idly by and watch the same place we were kidnapped from be re-enslaved. No, 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 no. The 13th Amendment applies, and we have to apply that even to African countries, because the reason the 13th Amendment existed was because we were kidnapped and enslaved from West African countries.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to extend the 13th Amendment and say you cannot re-enslave those African regions because that is an extension of. But that would only be able.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes. Can you? Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah,
okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's not just us going there. We have to recalibrate our minds to say, what do we do here? If we begin to do trade with that region, now we have an economic tie to that region. With that kind of economic tie to West Africa, to the Sahel in particular, to the freedom fighters, we are now making a living. We eat every day and eat well because they do well. We would not be able, on a practical level, to sit idly by and watch this nation or any other nation attack them because they would be attacked at our interest. So that is a different way of being on a practical basis, socio-politically, economically tied to the success of the sovereignty of that region as Africans, even that we can do from here. See, if brothers and sisters here are having businesses that are tied to the shea butter business that they have there,
mm-hmm.
to the turmeric
right.
business that they have there, to the cloth-making industry that they have there, and we are now in our neighborhoods creating businesses that are thriving because we get good deals working with them,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're not just tied to them as we're African and racial tie. It's deeper now. Now we have an economic tie. Hey, we making money. This is how I put my children through school.
Right on.
So now when somebody talks about going in there and attacking, whoa, 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 you attacking me. Hey, that's how I eat. Now you got a problem because, you know, black folks in America, you know, something go wrong. When we get it together, we can show out. We can get problems to people. And so I'm saying that yeah. to say, theoretically, if France wants to go and cause a problem in the Sahel, if I'm making $300,000 a year from working with the Sahel, it's a lot of French in America that might have some problems. Because that is not you can't cause problems for them and then be comfortable here. It's a lot more of us here than it is French in America.
Mm-hmm.
I hope everybody's hearing what I'm saying. Like, we got to start realizing where is our value, because what's happening is this. I think it's very important for me to say this. Right now, what we're doing, and again, I'm not trying to beat up on our people. I love our people. I'm one of them. I'm an African in America. But what we're bringing to the world is degeneracy. I hate to say it. I'm not saying we created degeneracy, but I'm saying we sure are accelerating it, because with the filth of this thing called hip-hop,
oh yeah,
this whole poor culture.
Yeah, when you said that, that's the first thing that came to my mind. Shaking your ass, all the vulgarity, all the disrespect. Yeah, that's an image that has been perpetuated, and everybody thinks that's who we are, particularly here in America. And many of us outside of America emulate that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so as opposed to bringing the things that we're talking about bringing to Africa, which many people are, but what we really are allowing to be exported to Africa is this filth and indecency. Think about it. You have a presidential campaign. People around the world, because it's the most powerful country in the world, are looking at the presidential campaign. How do you have a rally with somebody named Megan calling herself a stallion and a Glorilla, women talking about whoredom, shaking their behinds as if this is the best that black women in America have to produce? The message to the world, to the Arabs, to the Europeans, and to even the African world, black women are a bunch of whores. That's not a healthy image to be putting out there when you have sex trafficking and human trafficking and slavery is on the rise ever since Obama went and killed Gaddafi, and we see the slavery that's going on in Libya, like open-air slave markets. So we got to really look at, wait a minute, our behavior that we're exporting or that's being exported of our behavior is a detriment to the continent. We don't want that. We want to export the proper stuff and import
exactly.
the right thing.
Exactly.
We want to be a benefit to Africa.
When you mentioned about the Libya piece, because see, Africans they're trying to escape whatever bad situation that they find themselves in, and I hate that fact. And so many were, even after Muammar Gaddafi was assassinated, tried to go up into Libya. Well, those Libyans who did what they did took those Africans in and neutered them and sold them to Saudi Arabia and to Kuwait and to Oman and United Arab Emirates. You know, they took those cats in and neutered them, chopped their stuff off and sold them. I'm like, damn. You know, here you are trying to escape a bad situation, and you are now in an ultimate bad situation.
A worse situation.
A worse situation, yeah. Well, listen, we're going to take a break, okay? We'll play a little music, take a break here, and when we come back, please, brothers and sisters, you can join us at by dialing 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. This is African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You miss me, kiss me, baby, hug me. The thoughts of a human are so hard to bear when the uncivilized enterprise in despair. Video clips make us shake our derrieres while the big screen screams. Throw your guns in the air. Hollywood, Hollywood, we all want the glamour. Glitz, diamonds, and gold. Tricks, abracadabra. What's the matter, copper ladder? That really makes me wonder how we manage to move around in the world of anacondas. Gotta think like a chess player, Mr. Taxpayer. Seek the truth, we abuse you, suffer soothsayer. School fools on YouTube and chat room players. Cartoons and buffoons of all the sort of flavors. You used to diss my mama when you called the ancient mama. Must have seized, got a need, so you call me mountain climber. Quest feed the need of the Da Vinci code finder. Proceed to lead as the original designer. Ayo, ayo. Ayo. Bow down the clown, stuff your knees up. I don't hoe around, so no cheese up. Peace to all my peeps who could keep up. Cause I'm leaping over them boundaries. Indigestion in the belly of the beast. New direction.
direction, heading straight for the east. You know, life is painstaking when they have what's ancient. So who's that wrecking that microphone? Shot bless, giving headrest to backbones. F-popper, if he was a rolling stone, cause sisters know how to read up. Damn right we are. So what's your sexuality? Intellectual abnormality. It's your religion causing them casualties. So bow down to the flow up, to your God to woe up. Major slave ships, slayed your woman like a hoe up. Wrote it in your books and we bought it in the stores. Hickory, dickory, slippery dimes. Go to bed with the feds and they have crooked cops. Put the lead to the head if their agenda stops. So keep a bulletproof goose and a crew of hard rocks. Ayo, 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 ayo. Stuck in the land of the lost, man. They trying to stick us into them coffins. So proceed to lead with caution. Misdemeanors getting meaner and his grass ain't greener. First or second class plane crash, got Jesus. Y'all need gas from who? These to beamers. Watch them as they laugh and take us to the cleaners. Read between the lines if you want some definition. They fired the grid so we led through intuition. Better watch your kids when on the net they fishing. How you rocking rims you ain't got a pot to piss in? Lord have mercy on these folks. They got a mind so blind and we all got jokes. We just want piece of bacon from that stroke. Divorce rate sky high cause we ain't evenly yoked. Yo, signs number 9, numerology completion. Beeping through your mind like blinds at off Venetian. Seek hard, you find what I find I'm keeping. Don't be alarmed, just keep your arms reaching. Ayo, 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 ayo.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Sister Shabless with Ayo. That's right. I have my good brother Ayo Kamathi, the Irritated Genie. And this Saturday, we'll be at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar talking about African survival in the 21st century. And to me, there's no other subject that we should be talking about, because African survival means that we as a people will survive in the 21st century. And it's been very tenuous when you look at the last few centuries of African exploitation and African degradation and African, man. So we're going to talk about that and a number of other things, and I hope that you will be able to join us this Saturday at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, 6984 Main Street in Lithonia. If you want more information, just give me a call. I'm Baba Oshi at 414-324-5796, 414-324-5796. Getting back to the conversation, my brother Ayo Kamathi. How'd you like that song by Sister Shabless? Yeah.
I like that. That's my name. That's Ayo.
Yes, Ayo. Right. Right on. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You know, some of the things that, like I said, I'm encouraged by what's going on in West Africa. I'm proud, you know. When I see the brothers in Burkina Faso and, you know, Niger and the other place, you know, it's great that it's happening, and it must be accelerated. Other countries must understand that we need to get on board with being, you know, in terms of shaping Africa's future, you know.
Let me jump in here because you just said something, and I wanna extend it and kind of connect what's happening there to the West. and talk about why all of this is so important to understand. So we see African Renaissance occurring live time, real in our eyes, in the AES, like you just said. Well, what about the West? What do we have going on here? Well, right now, there's a brother named Barbecue, General Trevier,
down in Haiti. Mm-hmm.
From my vantage point, now again, I haven't met him personally, so I'm giving you my assessment of him. He looks like a Dessalinean, meaning an African sovereignty freedom fighter that's willing to go to whatever level it needs to go militarily to create sovereign space for our people in an independent nation called Haiti. And, of course, he's being vilified by the Western media, which is my first indication. I said, I need to look deeper into the guy. Now, this is my assessment, having not met him. It almost looks like what we have here is almost, I would almost say it's almost spiritual. We talked about where the source of sovereignty from the 1800s started was in Haiti, in terms of the major victory against the European powers of enslavement and the creation of sovereignty in the West, the only single independent black nation in the Western Hemisphere, Haiti. Well, that same nation right now, while Africa is beginning to go into sovereign space, is now working to free itself. And when I spoke to them, and this is from Haitians themselves, this wasn't something that my research had taught me. I've done two books, Jews Are the Problem, Part 1 and Part 2, and I didn't know this. They told me that the reason that they're fighting is because Jews are trying to take over and run their country and creating instability and violence because the Haitians told them, no, you can't come and take over our country. We're sovereign. And so they're literally taking up arms to fight essentially a Jewish overthrow of Haiti as we speak right this moment. And I don't mean fight politically. They're in the street armed, young men. They started off, some of them as gangs doing very negative things, have now been corralled. They're working together in something called Vive Ensemble. And now they're saying live together. That's what Vive Ensemble means. And they're saying we're going to fight these oligarchs, which is really just a code word for Jews, that are trying to finance us out of our island and our independence that our ancestors gave us, and we're going to remain free. There's a military effort right now as we speak to fight this Jewish overthrow of their region. At the same time in West Africa, three nations are coming together and pulling other nations in that direction to say, we're freeing ourselves from the French grip. So the Haitians are fighting the U.S., France, and Canada. The AES is fighting France, some Jewish interest in the U.S., and Ukraine and other Jewish interests in other nations. And they're working with Russia in a situation where we're about to look at the potential of international nuclear warfare.
Oh, my goodness.
And why am I saying this?
That would be devastating for the world.
What's so important to understand is, right in this moment, as Syria was just overthrown, for those who've been paying attention, the Jews have just overthrown Syria and put what they call ISIS or Al-Qaeda in place. That's just the Mossad. That's the Israeli Secret Intelligence Service. It's just the Jews. The Mossad now, they've overthrown Syria, which was one of Russia's primary allies in that region. Why am I bringing all this up? What is the relevance to us as black people? There's a few relevance. One, the Jews are trying to push NATO, which means the U.S. and the Western nations, into the war with Russia, which means our children would have to go overseas, and they're talking about the girls being sent and drafted as well, to go overseas to fight Russians, which would be a catastrophe. But there's another piece that's relevant. Now that Syria has fallen to the Jews have NATO and Syria, and they're destroying the Middle East at this point. They're destroying Palestine. So the Russians are running out of allies. But guess what the strongest right now potential military ally and economic base that they'll have to ally outside of China. The new alliance that Russia has for its own sovereignty is the AES. Meaning what? Meaning African people who are fighting for our own sovereignty and working with Russia are in a pivotal moment when international war of nuclear dynamics and potential is pending. And we here as African people in America are in the country with a president that just came in, Donald Trump. The question becomes, what is our positioning to be able to fight against this nuclear war? Because we know that it would draw our brothers and sisters in the AES into this war and essentially hurt, because there's no way for Africa to stay out of it, because if they go to war with Russia, then everything that's happening in Africa is going to be destroyed, because the countries that are going to war with Russia, they get their wealth from these African countries by stealing the wealth. So if they go and destroy Russia, then they're going to definitely go back in. They're already trying to go back in and take their wealth back and re-enslave these African nations. So we have to do something about it. The question is, do we know what's going on, and have we taken a position in our interest?
And the bottom line is, we need to look at that critically, because if we don't, just like you just mentioned, we'll be recolonized. And even deeper than that, you know, we'll be eliminated, because they want resources. Just like in Haiti. Haiti is not poor. Haiti is very rich. In fact, there's only two places that have uridium, Haiti and in South Africa. And this mineral is very rich. The cost of the mineral is very, you know, so, I mean, and other resources. So understand something, brothers and sisters. Yes, the image of us on television and so forth, and the image of us that has been perpetuated is that we are poor, that we lack intelligence, that we lack the ability to govern ourselves, that we, all of these things. It is a lie. It is sincerely fabricated propaganda. But the bottom line is, when you look at it, you see it persist. And so now you have Kenyans. You have Kenyans who are in Haiti to fight the Haitians, paid for by the United States. You see, United States helped pay for that, not France, probably United States. This situation for us, we need to take that step back, look at it, and move on it in terms of what we want done for us as we position ourselves in the future. And if we don't, we may not have a future. You know?
Ashe.
Yeah, we may not have a future. So it is critical. And no procrastination, family. We need to do this shit now. We need to come together, close ranks, pull these resources now. You know, sometimes the longer you wait, the harder it'll be. You know, so these
are a lot of what I'm seeing now in this time. And it's actually a beneficial thing if we get our minds right, because it doesn't actually require all of us. And what I mean by that
is right now, we don't need the masses. Right now, we don't need the masses, but we need a cadre of right-minded brothers and sisters to come together and strategize and put this shit in motion.
Because like right now what we have is a situation where what we need as much as anything is an understanding of what we're facing. That's what, to a large degree, we're missing in my estimation. Mm-hmm. Understanding of the different things that are going on at this time and the different ways that they're operating, because we're in the past, if we're fighting police brutality, somebody got to go out there and step to these guys, and they got guns, which means you're going to need some guns. So that's a huge, you know, the Panthers. We know who the Panthers were and what they did. Mm-hmm. This is a different type of war. at some point it may become physical, but it's less physical now because it's more, if we position ourselves properly, we can avoid the what appears to be the ominous physical threats that are facing us now, because we can maneuver ourselves out of what they're pushing us towards. Mm-hmm. Meaning, if we begin the economic work to align with the AES, we can put ourselves in a political position where we can have a determination of what happens militarily. We can have a decision whether or not we can be part of the decision-making process of whether or not the United States of America is comfortable in trying to go to war with the AES, or if we can say, no, let's do something different, and we begin to intercede in the interests of our people. You see, what I'm saying is we don't understand our power at this time because these other groups are fighting. When other people are fighting, none of them are as strong as they would be if they weren't fighting. I'm sorry. So if they're not as – if they're not in a normal state of strength and capacity in that moment, we don't have to be as physically organized and strong. We have to have a group of people that can figure out what's going on, and now we have leverage because each of them is fighting each other, and they want the leverage over the other, and none of them can afford for us to side with the other person. So these two people are fighting. None of them can afford for black people to side with the other one because then they would lose. So we have incredible leverage, but if we are not organized and don't have the intellectual capacity, we just sitting here talking.
Mm-hmm. You're right. That's
and we've done it before. This is what the Haitians did. They didn't have a military. The Haitians didn't have no military to be able to defeat these groups that they were fighting. But what did the Haitians have? They said, you know what? We're going to side with this European nation against this slave trading nation. Then we're going to defeat them and put them out. Then we're going to put this group, we're going to side with this group against that group. So the second, they sided with the French to put the English out. And then once the Spanish out. And then once the Spanish were out, they said the only one that's left now is French. Now we're going to get true freedom. Now, the Haitians had plotted that out before the war. But see, that's the thing. All that was their thinking. Now, that it was a physical, sure. But they had to join with different groups. So they had to fight one way or the other, or they had to be enslaved. They chose freedom. But the way they won was the thinking. It wasn't the physical war was necessary, but they outthought the enemy. They saw that they were fighting, and they could use them fighting as leverage for their freedom. We now have three nations who, based on Syria being taken down, the relevance and value of the AES to Russia, if it was at an 8 before, it's at an 11 now. Mm. Yeah, I mean, it might be at a 16 because now they've lost their main thing there. So Russia has lost a major ally.
Mm-hmm. In Syria,
so now they need the AES to stay strong. That benefits us because we have a value to the second most powerful military on the planet. Now we got to figure out how we work that to our advantage.
Yeah.
To help more Africa get more free and us as African people in America. How do we make that benefit us?
Because
we in America.
Because one thing that we got to understand is America's inability to do something positive for Africa for hundreds of years. America is just give lip service to Africa while manipulating and maneuvering to get Africa's resources, just like other European countries. America is no friend, has not been a friend to Africa. And particularly as it relates to its, you know, building of roads and so. America ain't done none of that. America just gave you some aid.
I'm agreeing with that, okay. But I'm taking a different position. I agree with you. There's no question what you're saying is true, uh-huh. But I'm saying I think it's time for us to go to another space. Okay.
Okay.
What you're saying is absolutely correct, mm-hmm. But we got to get in a new space. The new space is we already know America, them. But what about America, us? In other
right,
words,
that's right,
we're not Americans. Right. We're Africans in America.
Right.
What are we going to do
yes.
with our position in America mm-hmm. as quote-unquote Americans? Yeah, okay, we know we're Africans, but I'm saying we're here. What do we do that can be of benefit to Africa because of the weakness of the situation of what we would traditionally look at as America? See, the American Republic is under control of the Jews at the executive branch. So even the white Americans don't want to go to war with Russia. They don't want to do that because it's going to be a calamity for the U.S. It's going to be a destructive mechanism. They don't want their sons and daughters going to this war. So what that means is, if they feel that way, we know we feel that way as well, and the Jews are the ones that's in control. The Jews have power because no one will identify them. Mm-hmm. But there are enough people who know that they're the problem, and they're getting people to do stuff that they don't want them to do, that it becomes a situation where we have to figure out, how do we use these circumstances for us, not only to help Africa, but the power we have now with all of these different factions fighting becomes, if we can see it, it becomes luminous. We don't have to worry about how America feels about Africa. We know how America feels, how they feel about Africa like they feel about us. They kidnapped us and enslaved us. It's the same thing. But the question is, how do we feel about ourselves? How do we feel that we have the intellectual capacity to organize our resource base to determine what America does in Africa? In other words, America wants access to resources in Africa. One way or the other, there are resources that they need. Well, then our position needs to be, since we know they're going to try to get those resources, as opposed to letting them go with military to try to take it, we're going to step in the middle and say, well, if you want it, it's got to be done at fair pricing, but we'll go over there and we'll help you get it.
Right, now, we'll help you negotiate.
Are we going to help America?
Right.
No. Yeah, but are we helping America? No. We're saying, as opposed to them going and bombing, these countries would sell it anyway if it was fair. They don't have a problem selling the stuff.
Yeah.
We just don't want them to be robbed. So then, since it's going to happen anyway, let us get in the middle. Let's build up our communities here, and we be the middleman, and now we can be the buffer between a bomb hitting Africa and something else happening, and we helping ourselves, and we helping our African brothers and sisters, and we got to play the middle. We got to figure out how to be a benefit to African people everywhere, since all of this chaos is going on. That's what I'm saying.
That's right. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. My guest is Brother Ayo Kamathi, the Irritated Genie, out of Baltimore. He'll be here in Atlanta this Saturday at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, located in Lithonia, for a very important talk, a very serious discussion on Africa's survival in the 21st century. And you've heard some pieces of it, and of course, quite sure it's going to be more in depth. So, brothers and sisters, please, if you're in Atlanta area and you got the time on this Saturday, I know there's, well, hey, in fact, you can come to the survival and then go to the black, then go to the New Black Wall Street, which is the next exit east of exit 74. That's exit 75, Turner Hill Road. Take that exit, make a right, three lights, take another right, and you'll be at the New Black Wall Street Market, where you can do some shopping and spend some money with each other. That's very vitally important too. And that's what we're talking about here, helping one another. Help Africans helping Africans on the continent and throughout. You know, that's the mindset that we need to develop. I know there's deep challenges in that. We're bombarded 24/7, 365 we're bombarded. But we must, you know, gather the strength, and the strength within ourselves and the strength within each other. I think that's something that sometimes is missing, because we live in America, and America, you know, perpetuates individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. And so it doesn't promote togetherness. It doesn't promote, you know, doing things positive. It doesn't promote family of a man and a woman and children. It doesn't promote that either, you know, especially within our community. So all of these things that are positive for us will be discussed, and hopefully you'll be there
and you will assist in implementing them as we move forward as a people well into this century. Because if it doesn't happen, family, our existence is tenuous. You know, believe me, just as Brother Ayo Kamathi said, but really it's Dr. John Henry Clark. We have no friends. We have no friends. You want a friend? Go look in the mirror. And don't leave that mirror until you like what you see. Not the arch eyebrows or the cleft in your chin or none of that. No. Like who you see historically. Like who you see culturally. Love yourself and begin to love each other. Love the fact of who we are and our potential. And begin to work together to realize it. We need each other. No, man, we're right. We don't have no friends. Everybody wants to play us. Everybody recognizes the wealth that we have as a people. And not just the mineral wealth, but the wealth that we have as a people intelligently, spiritually, culturally, you know? So, Brother Kamathi.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate you, man. Yeah.
I appreciate you.
Yeah, we got about 20 more minutes, so we might as well go ahead and the callers. I got a couple of callers, huh? They don't want to, and they just want to listen, and that's good too, you know. Yeah, we got. I love listeners, you know.
Yeah, no, I think it's good. I think what am I saying? I would understand, and I can't speak for people, but I'm thinking, what's happening is this: there's a shift in the paradigm that's happening. So it actually comforts me that it's not a lot of people calling, because people usually do call. What that means is, if I'm not mistaken, people are listening.
Right.
Because this is not the standard conversation. Like, we're African nationalists. We don't think about no Syria. We don't care about none of that stuff. We're not thinking about America, this and America. We're thinking about African people. But what's happening is, when an opportunity like this pops up, it becomes a tragedy if we miss it. This is the opportunity of, I'm 51 years old. I've never seen anything this promising. And the only reason that I am even able to conceptualize the benefit of this time period is one reason. I started off talking about pedophilia and homosexuality. I had no intention of going much further than that. But then Hurricane Katrina come and we start talking about genocide. Then the media blitz was coming, and we started talking about the entertainment industry. And then they started killing our people in 2010 to 2016, just shooting and killing people. Now we had a Warriors conference out there, armed to the teeth, running the streets, trying to – they lynching people in Delaware. We up there taking armed groups up there to fight up there and try to stop lynching. So my point being, I keep converting to the war that's happening. And then, of course, we saw this jab. And when we looked behind it and saw who it was, we saw it was Jews and it's international extirpation. And we started saying, okay, the Jew is a problem. We got to talk about that because that's a part of white supremacy. Baba Neely Fuller said he doesn't know who the white supremacists are at the top, but he knows it's not all white folks. They're not all smart enough. So now we figure we found who the smart ones are. Yeah. We figured out who the smart ones are. These are the Jews. So now what's happened is, converting, so now they put this jab out there. Now I had to go into health. I'm looking for Dr. Africa or Dr. Sabi, but they're gone.
Right. They're so, both gone, brothers and sisters.
I had to take they with us, but they not physically here with us. So when that happened, now I had to turn the corner and I have to figure out how to fight that. My point being, the only reason I can see the battlefield like this now is because with each of those fights, I made my best effort to turn the corner and fight them. When you're in the fight like that, you kind of tuned in to what's going on. Mm-hmm. So when this AES thing happened, it hasn't been long enough for the average person to just catch how important this is. But when you're in the fight, you kind of see everything on the battlefield that's going on. This is the greatest opportunity for liberation of African people in the last 100 years.
No question about it. I agree. And I know somebody.
And with Haiti rolling up at the same time, it's like when Baba Garvey said, meet me in the whirlwind or the storm. Literally, this is the whirlwind and the storm. Right now, it's happening. We have to figure out, as African people in America, okay, we can't nobody argue with our intelligence, but wait a minute. If we're intelligent, then we got to see what's happening, move out of our ego, and figure out how do we adjust and pivot to become relevant in this whirlwind and this storm.
I say, we got to have a caller, brother, and somebody who definitely is feeling the way that you do, particularly about West Africa, Kenny Fossum Fufu, and that's Brother Irv. Brother Irv, good afternoon, my man.
Good afternoon, Baba Oshie. Thank you for taking my call. Brother Genie, how are you?
Man, I'm doing fantastic, brother.
Yeah. Brother, let me say this to you, my brother, and I don't necessarily have a question, but I do love the fact that you're speaking globally. Don't get it twisted. You understand local politics. You understand local everything, but you speak globally, brother, and you're and let's be clear. We're not going to get on this radio station and talk. We're behind the enemy lines right now. We're not going to sit here and talk about all the strategic things that should be done. But in generalizing what you said, you're absolutely correct. This is the exact time for American Africans to make their move on the system, because the system is in disarray right now. And they don't fight out in the open, and neither should we. We have no friends, but we do have allies. Let's be clear. We all are fighting the same enemy. Why aren't we fighting together? You said that before, and that resonated with me. See, I'm not afraid to say what has to be said, but I also respect the brothers who have a lot to lose to get on here and start talking about the Jew this and Jew that, and you work for a Jew. Because we haven't been taught to start a business. We've been taught to work for somebody. We've not been taught to get into the stock market. We've been taught to talk about the stock market. So we understand we're in a capitalist society, and money moves everything around. So we have to understand how to move the money to make it work for us. And you are so right. When the elephants are fighting, the grass gets trampled. But we understand that when they fight, they can't fight on. But so Hitler lost because he was fighting on too many fronts. And the United States has over 800 bases in other countries. How many military bases you see in the United States from other countries? That's
none.
What I thought. Crickets. They ain't
exactly.
None. They ain't none. And so you've been helping a country for 200, 300, 400 years with aid, and you ain't built a hospital? You ain't built a rail system from one end to the other end of the country? You got a rail system to take the minerals to the port. You don't have to move people around, but you got them here. You built a rail. Biden went to Angola. You know that was a bunch of BS. And took pictures. Oh, this is the first, and a black man on TV. This is the first time a president been to Angola. Who gives a damn? Who really? Brother Genie, the smoke and mirrors and the games that these Caucasians are playing on us are old. We figured them out, and it's now time for us to make the move. Thank you, brother, for doing what you're doing. I'm going to get on that, what we talked about. I'm going to put that together. This month, you know, I'm retired, so I can say what I want, but I only get paid once a month. So I'm going to make that happen.
Yeah.
You know about that retirement.
Yeah.
But my thing is,
yes, sir.
you are, the thing about you, Baba Genie, you ain't scared to get out front, because they throwing darts and guns and knives at you all day, every day. They want you to be quiet. That's what they want you to do. I need you to shut up. But you can't stop the movement. You can stop a person, but you can't stop a movement. And if it's up to me, I'm not going to let them stop you or Ibrahim Touré. They're not going to stop any of that. Any of those people who are this ain't a coup. This is a revolution. So don't label it something else. So, brother, I understand. I love you. I like that you're out there. I'm with you. Believe me. And there are many like me that are with you.
So,
keep moving, brother. Thank you for coming on.
Right on, brother.
Yes, sir.
Right on, brother.
You too, my brother.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Oh, man.
How we do it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There are some soldiers here in the U.S., but like you said, some of them, you know, they got comfortable jobs. They got good paying jobs, maybe. They live in a neighborhood or in an area where, you know, they got to work because the mortgage rates and the car note and the insurance and all this kind of stuff, you are entrapped, so to speak, you know.
Yeah, well, what I did a long time ago, I made the decision. I said, it's a sacrifice. Because I used to work in the federal government. I used to have me a little government job sitting around, you know, making a lot of money doing nothing. But
yeah.
One thing I said was, everybody can't say this. And if nobody says it, it doesn't get said, and we don't get movement. So I said, I'm going to make the sacrifice. I thought it was going to come a lot sooner than it did. So yeah. I'm not even upset. Like, you know, they canned me, but I expected it to happen a lot sooner than it did. I'm like, you know what? I don't blame anybody for anything I've lost. I made a decision to do it. I knew it was going to come, and I take full responsibility, and I did it for the purpose of knowing everybody can't come out here and say this, so somebody had to do it. And so I made the decision myself to come out here and make the sacrifice. And so I'm comfortable with brothers not saying anything. Just help when you can,
right,
and heed the word and contribute. That's all.
Yeah, I agree. Become.
You don't need a bunch of talking heads anyway.
No.
Let me do the talking, and I'll take
right
the
on.
Heat. I'll take the
just make
I'll
the movement.
The shots and
just physically yeah. make the movement. Give of yourself, your time, your money, if that's the case, if that's all you can do. Or your time and your knowledge and your skills that you have, whatever can be done to continue with the forward flow of this particular movement to sovereignty and to liberate Africa, do it. Do it. And not that you grandstand and shit. That's what I read in the NYSSM, of people who, you know, want accolades. They want to be out front. No. No, we want it done. We want to make that movement part of, because that's the future for us as African people. That's the future for your children and your grandchildren. That's the future for where women are protected and respected and loved and cared for, because there's a man and there's a woman and they have family and they have children. These are the things that we are fighting for. These are the things that need to happen on the continent of Africa. It ain't happening here. This corrupt-ass place. Now, you may be in an area, you live in a cul-de-sac, you live in a subdivision, you live in an area, everything is cool. Fine. Fine. And if you can support the efforts of American Africans who want to get out of the situation that they're in, if you can do it, fine. Fine. But another thing is, don't work against it. Because I believe that there's going to come a point that we're going to have to deal with traitors. We're going to have to deal with those who are trying to sabotage what we're trying to do to liberate ourselves in this country, in the diaspora, and truly on the continent. It's going to happen. It has to happen, because there's going to be a movement. There's going to be a movement. And Brother Butch, is that you?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Baba.
Listen, man, like I told you before, I'm going to keep telling you the same thing over and over. You and that brother that's on there right now, that brother Paul, you guys that need to write, man. You understand what I'm saying? Y'all need to write this shit down.
I hear you, man.
Period. And that brother Barbecue, you see, you got to make connections with these people. You need to write his story. He's going to tell you how to get it done. You got to write, man. John Henry Clark said he wrote a what was that book he called, the last one, Revolution Oh, man. John Henry Clark at a lecture one time, he was writing a book called, I can't remember. It was Revolution something, John Henry.
Right, I know what you're talking about. It's the World Revolution. Christopher Columbus and the World Revolution.
No.
Not that one?
Diagram or something for revolution, because
okay.
I got a copy of it.
Okay.
See, y'all got to write, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? All this talking is fine. But that word gets out with them books, man. I got two grandsons. One is 16, one is 21. I spent all my time talking to these kids. You understand? And I got them reading. They read. They don't read this Mac and Muff bullshit, Nancy and Mac and all this dumb shit.
I hear you.
They read on a. Y'all got to write, man.
I hear you.
You know what I mean? Talk, write, talk. Write. You got to write, man. John Henry Clark, Van Sertum, all these cats, they gone, but they book their information is here.
Always. It's eternal.
You got to write while you're still living, man.
Mm-hmm. That's
eternal. I'm done.
All right, Baba Butch.
Put the ball on.
All right.
Put the ball on.
Okay. Ashe. That's Baba Butch, one of our elders who was a constant caller and contributed to this program. There's many others, you know. But I, you know, appreciate him. But it, yeah. Because what is written?
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. I agree with him. We got to definitely, because a lot of this information and understanding I got from reading books.
Yeah, same here.
That's where the information is, man. The information is in the books. Mm-hmm.
And once you read it, you got to apply it. You got to act on it, you know.
You just said something I really want to, you know, I know we're wrapping up the program. Because I really want people to hear this and then go investigate for yourself. Just go on YouTube and look up Niger, look up Mali, look up Burkina Faso. Look them up and just see what's going on. You just said something. Application. And what I'm really in the mindset of saying is that all of this great intellectual work we've done from Baba Garvey to Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, you know, to right now, that we've done this whole 100 years of wealth, of investment, and the understanding of Dr. Chancellor Williams, you know, all of this great work is right now in this moment. It's actually at the next phase. It's being actualized. People are taking it. I don't even know how they got access to it. I don't even know how they did it. I can't even lie. I don't know how they did it. I know that they're doing it. And so it's incumbent upon us to shift our mind and realize, whoa, it's no longer intellectual, ideological necessarily. We've now gotten to the stage of actual practical application.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole nother ball game. Whole nother ball game.
Yep. Some of it needs
to. And then we got to get on board.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, maybe plans of action with timelines and people to make sure that these timelines are adhered to. All of this, this movement has to be synchronized. You know, this shit ain't going to happen by osmosis or just because we say it's going to happen or that we wish it to happen, that we hope it happens, that we pray that it happens. It happens because we make it happen. We put the energy. We get the people who are like-minded and the people who have an understanding. And these individuals, they're not there for accolades and self-aggrandizement. They're there to do the work. They're there to realize this what we're talking about comes to fruition, you know? Because if it doesn't, Brother Ayo, if it doesn't, and I know that I may be gone by that time, but if it doesn't, I don't want us to be gone. I don't want us to be gone because we're dealing with evil entities, you know? We're dealing with some people, man, that, you know. So I'm saying, man, we got to do this. It's imperative that we do this and that we inform and educate ourselves and that we prepare ourselves. And if you have a skill and the ability and you want to make this happen, come to the table. Come to the meeting, you know. Let's make this happen. You know, I have, you know, Baba Bush just mentioned his two grandsons and the same age as mine, 21 and 17, you know. And I pray for their future, you know, because it's tenuous, man, with all the things that are going on. And the fact is that many of us believe, well, we know we've been here for so long, they ain't going to do that. They ain't going to put in no program to get rid of us. And we have just as much right to be here. This is just as much ours as it is theirs. Please, shut up. You know, one thing for sure, if you learn anything, if you looked at them and you studied their history, of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward our research. Look at the history. Look at the history of Europeans as it relates to us. And not just in this country, but globally. Look at the history. And you will tell you that you have to be on guard. And the fact that one of the things that help, because they're Europeans, Caucasians, Urugu, are a numerical deep minority. They're less than 10% of the world population, but they run in everything. And yes, European Jews, the Jews, they are part of that Caucasian collective. In fact, they're the movement of that collective. They're the mental arm. United States is the military. There are 750 bases around the world. 750
that the United States have come into people's countries and laid a military base. So if something jump off, no, it ain't going to be no wild before I get there. No, it's going to be minutes before I vamp on your ass. This is serious. You got the last word, Brother Ayo. You have the last word, Brother Genie.
Yes, sir. Well, I look forward to seeing people this weekend. I look forward to seeing people. I appreciate your opportunity. I appreciate the work you're doing. And we're going to have a wonderful time. And let's do it, brothers and sisters. The most promising time in our sojourn in the Western Hemisphere. We're really about to make some things happen. We in the world with. Appreciate you, brother.
Ashe. Thank you, Brother Ayo. Brother and sister, Brother Ayo Kamathi, the irritated genie. Brothers and sisters, we end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure the hell, damn it, don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Hope you can make it this Saturday if you're in the Atlanta area to the presentation. Africa. That's right. African survival in the 21st century. That's this Saturday at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, located 6984 Main Street in Lithonia. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahariye. Abibi Fahariye means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a great and wonderful day, family. I will see you in a minute. All right, peace, family.